Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Old Moon Podcast, episode 71. I nailed that and was not waiting for a confirmation from Blonde or Jay.
One sec, I have a phone call. I'm sorry.
Can't even play BDO for the 1 hour a week he's required to play it for the podcast. That's insane. But I am Blue Squadron, your host, as usual, joined by Blonde Bear, who will lead with first for no particular reason.
Hello, I'm Blonde Bear. And I like to party.
Blonde, the one time I need you to give a better intro than your standard garbage.
I like to party boss blitz.
Yeah. Oh my god.
I actually do really like the party boss blitz.
I can tell by the tone of your voice. It's dead. Come on, get excited. Jay, we're joined with Jay too. Jay.
Hi. My name is Jay Kinoviti. I do a lot of endgame PvP content, such as Olens, Dungeons, the Party Boss Blitz, and you can find me over at twitch.tv/JayKinoviti, V before the T.
And on. So, best part of the new expansion. Questline, right? Yeah. Questline that good? I'm just kidding. Fuck it. It's the boss blitz, right? It's not even a question. The boss blitz is actually everything we wanted. Mm-hmm. We've wanted in BDO for a really long time, at least in my opinion. That boss blitz is a baby step into the potential that I think that Black Desert actually has for endgame PvE content. I'm curious what your guys' thoughts on it were. We actually got server first. It may have been world first on the Crown Prince boss. Not hard difficulty, but like the standard difficulty for Crown Prince boss. We had such a blast with it. We took us 6 hours. We beat like three bosses. There were some stopping in between for like the world bosses, some questing and stuff. But like, yeah, it was kind of a hardcore run through the guild bosses, and it was a tremendous amount of fun. I'm curious what your guys' thoughts were on opening day and stuff. We'll start with Jay here. Jay, what were your thoughts? And then we'll end with Blonde, mainly because he's going to doom about it. Yeah.
I was actually a little bit worried when they mentioned that the difficulty would be similar to Ataraxian, because Ataraxian mechanics are super easy nowadays.
Yep.
But I was pleasantly surprised to see that it took much more effort to get those bosses sounds. Like, I would say, like, my least favorite boss, I'll start off with that, which was like Bulgulsala, mostly because his mechanics were on like the more simpler side. I do prefer more mechanically difficult bosses in general. I like things to challenge me, and so it's how I know I'm like getting better at this or that thing, which is why like Blue Clad Youth is my favorite boss. I know it's like the opposite opinion for many people that I've talked to, but I liked it so much because it was like super different. It was like, it wasn't like the other girls, you know. It was really challenging because it required a lot of personal responsibility to get the mechanics down. In a way, like to put it in like in a metaphorical way, you can use a lot of gear to hide and mask the dents on your head, but this boss reveals all. You cannot hide any of your dents. You will expose your dents in your head to your other team, and if you're a streamer, to your audience. And I love that. And then when it comes to hitting a wall and overcoming that wall, it's like one of the most satisfying things. And that's kind of like what it felt like when my group finally got it down. Like, to put in perspective for our group, Blom was there. We took like 2 hours for like the other four bosses that were like combat related, but this one took like 3 or 4 hours, which was like twice as long to beat this one boss than the other four. But it was, oh my god, it was so satisfying to get down. And that's like the feeling that I love, and I'm super happy they were able to create something like this. I heard that Crown Prince was the hardest boss so far. My group didn't do it because, you know, we wanted to get the five bosses down before the reset. It was Friday already, and Saturday was the reset, so we wanted to get that loot over. But I'm hoping the other bosses they didn't have yet, like the two sisters, I'm excited for that boss. They don't disappoint. And I think also seeing PA able to create something like this, it kind of gives me hope that they might actually explore like 10 man or 20 man or possibly even guild wide like raid bosses one day. So, yeah, we'll see.
I'm super excited about it. Blonde, you had to log into Black Desert for the first time in like 2 months. So what did you think about that?
It's what I wanted. Group content that's challenging, fun, rewarding. I thought it was fantastic. I really liked it. I had a lot of fun. I was in Jay's group, obviously, if that wasn't obvious. And it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun. Yeah, the other bosses were like kind of a piece of cake, because if you have some sense of PvE mechanics, once you kind of get the gist of it, you kind of run through it. But the blue clad youth was kind of challenging because there's a lot of coordination. You have to have like a designated leader for some of the puzzles, and once you kind of get into it, it was nice. And I completely agree with Jay. I think it does give kind of hope to like actually have some challenging mechanics. I think they figured out, because like when you look at like the game as a whole, when you look at like stuff like Zarka and Karan, it's like, okay, I'm going there just to int and die. That's why I'm going to take an ult there, because there's no, I'm not learning a mechanic, I'm not dodging a thing, I'm just going to get unfairly punished by some mechanic that I can't see, or that she just one-shots me even in full gear. But when you go and do like these bosses, it doesn't feel like that. It feels like the mistakes you make are the mistakes that you make. You're not getting punished for something you can't counter or counterplay around. Like, each of the different fights have like stuff you can avoid, stuff you can focus on, and then with the different buffs you also have like alternating mechanics and stuff. And I think that they've kind of hit their stride, and I hope that they continue going with it. I think that they need to do a lot more of this kind of content personally.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Mm-hmm. I think they absolutely need to do more content like this. But like, sadly, so we've talked about a lot of the, I'll give my pros and cons for it as well. I like that pros, like Jay said, I was concerned that they said it was going to be just as hard as Atraxian, and I was like, but that's not hard. And then they came out with it, and it's actually really, really good. And it's like actually mm-hmm. challenging to do, and you have to work together as a team. Which I think is really, really cool. And I love that about it. And so like it gave me close to Destiny raid vibes, where we're all trying to solve it together. We're all trying to solve everything together, and everyone has to have a brain. And like Jay said, if one guy has a dent, it's over. And like you wipe, and like that's it, man. Like, and now I understand why you guys didn't invite me to your party group, because you're assholes. But mainly because, suck it, we solved it first anyway, so deal with it. Joke's on you, I do carry you through the dungeon every week. I just don't care enough. That's the problem with, well, that's the problem with Atraxian, is that all the mechanics are solved and everything. I think the cool part of the new bosses was, like, figuring out the mechanics, and then, like, actually having them be challenging. And I think that that will be great content, for, like, the weeks and maybe a month or two to come. But I do think that the hype from it is gonna fade. And there's not enough of it. And okay, so I'm not trying to doom. These are my negatives. Because I don't think that there's enough of that content currently in the game to sustain players long term. I think that Blonde is right. They need to keep developing content like that. But right now we're in this awkward spot where, like, that content was amazing. We want more stuff like that. But it's going to be at least probably a year before we see more of this type of content in the game based on their development cycles so far. Furthermore,
we have a few unreleased bosses, don't we? So we are technically getting more.
No. They're all here now. Three of them, or two of them, were world release. Four of them, Korea already had. This is it, as far as I'm aware. This is it.
We're not getting the Rose Lady or the.
Yeah, I thought we're getting Rose Lady.
Oh, maybe we are. Maybe we are getting Rose Lady. So we'll see, and we'll see if they release that as, like, but it, even still, it's still not enough, right? And also, one of the biggest feedback things that I have is that. People want to be able to play with people that aren't in their guild, right?
Yeah.
So, like, you can only do this stuff with people in your guild, which is a really weird requirement.
You can do it with people outside your guild. You just are more recommended to do it within your guild.
Yeah.
Because you get more benefits for doing it with your guild. So there's actually more of a reason to repeat it over and over, which is almost even better than before. Which, because before I would do the bosses, I wouldn't even care about getting my rankings. But now, like, your guild represents in the front page, it's kind of, like, awesome. I mean, I personally really, really like that. Yeah. And I'm more incentivized to run it with different groups now because, like, if I run it with my guild and stuff, that's, like, great. But, you know, you can run it with more and more people, I think, is, like, the, you know, the idea.
You're just super crazy incentivized to really just do it with your guild. Because if you don't do it with your guild, you get way worse, rewards on it. So like,
okay, when I picked up my rewards, so I didn't do it with a guild, but I still got like the guild rewards. I think it's because it's
everybody gets guild rewards.
If members in your guild do the guild, correct? Yeah, they get it. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. So you're incentivized to do it with your guild more than you're not, and I think that that is bad. I think that you should just be incentivized to do it with your friends. I do think that having it be a guild activity is fun, but like I think that guild raids would be cooler. Like if it was like a 20-man guild raid. Right. And they did say that originally their idea for this was to make it a 20-man raid. for these bosses. And like they lowered it to 5 because they thought that that was too ambitious. So I'm hoping that they will take the next step now and do 20 man raid bosses for everyone. The problem is, how long is it going to take for that to come out? But like the guild bosses were incredible content. They need to do more of that, and they need to do it more quickly, because the problem is this is content you can really, let's be honest, unless you're Jaycoon or Blonde, you're probably only doing those bosses once a week for like, you know, an hour or so with your guild, and it's amazing content, but then that's it, right? And if you look at the rest of the expansion, what did you guys feel like, aside from the boss splits, about the rest of the expansion as a whole? I'll start with Blonde here, and then we'll ramp up to Jay, because Blonde's gonna have some crazy takes here. Go ahead, Blonde.
Crazy takes. It just feels like a waste of space. I think I've said it before in previous podcasts. I feel like it must be nice for them as like a country to have pride in their country and their stories and everything and build this whole region. But having a region where you literally don't come here other than to unlock it, do the story and leave, they could have just left it as an instance and built a whole nother expansion about something else. The fact that we don't go here or grind here for anything is kind of really, really sad, because it's such a nice, awesome, beautiful area with amazing like landscapes and stuff, but like we don't get to use any of it, right? We go into instances for the bosses that are like tiny, small arenas. So it's like super, super weird that we don't get to basically use any of this area. Now, if that's going to change in the future, then cool. And then we'll see that when it happens. But till it happens, I mean, it's kind of a worthless space, and we didn't need all this area to basically do the story. And it was literally like half the quests are like talking to one NPC over and over again. You know, you don't even like necessarily need to go many places. Half of the, like, there's like what, 600 quests, I think they said, and you can just like literally half of them are like talking to one single NPC 4 times over, and it's like, okay, was this really necessary? Like, I could have, like, everything could have been instanced and not a whole region wasted time and development. But again, it's like a country pride thing. I get it. Just feels like a waste, unfortunately.
I completely agree on, like, not letting us go back and experience the content, like, and the region more thoroughly. Like, I feel like they spent so much time developing this region, only to have us speed run it in a day.
And yeah.
Never like go
3
back.
Hours if you skipped everything. 3 hours if you skipped everything, and then 5 hours to plus if you watched like everything in detail and read everything.
Yeah, like, and that's frustrating. Because like, again, I think that they thought it was going to have the same impact that Land of the Morning Light 1 did. It's like, oh my God, look at this amazing thing that we did, blah, blah, blah. And what I think that the developers probably failed to grasp is that the reason Land of the Morning Light 1 was so successful was not anything that they did. And I mean that in the most respectful way possible. It was the fact that the Lost Ark died at that moment that we released the new expansion, and all of those players came over here, and they were going to come over here regardless. And like, that's just kind of how it goes. But like Land of the Morning Light 2, I don't think had the same reception. And you're seeing that like players just, they go do the bosses and then they leave. And it's a shame, because it's a very rich lore, and like in the quest is actually not bad, but like there's no reason to repeat it for any reason, because it's just a waste of time. And then like the world bosses are, I'm sure, reasonably good, even though they die in 4 seconds, you know, like, but you can only do those 4 times a week, so you're really only going over for the world bosses. There's no reason to kind of stay and have an adventure in that world, because like that's what their company slogan is the adventure never stops. And in this case, the adventure started and was over on day one, which is sad, but like true, for what Blonde's doing, saying. Mm-hmm. Jay, what are your thoughts on it? Like the rest of the expansion, like main story and whatnot.
I think you guys definitely touched on everything that I was also going to criticize. I did like the story though. Like I kind of wish there was, like a little bit more involvement with like Yanhua. She didn't really have too much time to spotlight. She was kind of taking a nap the entire time. The direction they took with the story, it involved much more like political drama. And there was one story that caught me a little bit off guard. It was the Sodong storyline with the flame guy, Jigui. And for anyone who hasn't done that tale yet, I won't spoil it for you, but there's like a twist at the end with the two main characters in that tale. And I was screaming, what was revealed, if you guys remember that one. So, I mean, overall, I think the the part two story, it like wrapped up the story arc pretty well. And so I think that's it, right? Like, I don't think they're doing any more with Land Immortal. They're going like forward now. There's so many different directions they can take now, and hopefully like they experimented with it. That's like what I'm thinking. I like to give them the benefit of that. They were experimenting with Land of Warden Light as just a place to do like these boss blitz stuff and experimenting, and then trying to build that foundation for possibly like raids in the future, as I mentioned before. And now that that's what they did, and I think all of us have like a really positive reception of the party boss split so far, or for the most part, going forward now, right? Going to Mountain of Dawnbreak, going to Land of Demons, going to at Magnus Part 2 with the, you know, the time travel of the fourth dungeon, maybe Elezra storyline, the Elvia realm. Where the heck is Jordine? You know, going through all those different storylines and directions, maybe it's they're using Land of Morning Light as the foundation to build towards those things. But yeah, that's again, definitely, it's as Blonde said before, going to Land of Morning Light Part 2, it is a shame that we don't get to see it beyond the storyline, beyond the party boss splits, and that's it there. But hopefully that beyond that, we can see more, and yeah, I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, no, yeah, no, I would generally agree. The fact that you're already talking about the next expansion and what we're potentially going to get there is not a good thing. I'm just gonna say, like that's not.
You're well, right, I mean, right. Traditionally, look at like expansions like World of Warcraft. It's like you get a new expansion, you get a raid thing, mm-hmm. and like other than like the top one teams, like everybody's kind of working through the content. You're not like, it takes a long time. This stuff was solved day one, and we were able to run through it day one. It wasn't like. This took like long-term raid tier progression, and it's not, there's going to be more and more stuff released, right? Like, yeah, we've got a handful more bosses maybe coming out, but like besides that, there's nothing to really work through. It's the quote unquote content is the new weapon that you're basically going back to all the old regions to grind out. So it's like, if like all the new best spots were out here and there was something to do and it was like crazy other than the boss buffs, which they've made instance. So you're sitting at Heidel Caroline buff, getting your crit buff so you can make it easier. Like you're not going to these areas and doing the thing. So it's not, unfortunately, it's not like a traditional MMO expansion. This is just a story expansion. If you are interested in that culture space, like if you're not, I mean, even the story wasn't even good for rewards. Normally they put like something on it. Like they give you like buffs and different things, and they didn't even like, you get 20 of the stones, which are kind of pointless anyways, because like you can get them from the bosses. Like right now they're worth a lot, but what people get gated on is the Kronstones. They're not even gated on the,
Do you want me to speak my truth?
It's silly.
I'm going to speak my truth on this. I still haven't done the main story.
You don't have to. That's but people also asked for that. People did not want to have to do the story.
No.
Right?
And I was just about to say, I think it's a W that they didn't require it for sovereign weapons. I thought it was way cooler that I could just walk to the altar and make my sovereign weapon and just immediately have it instead of having to do some useless quest line. Or to have to do the main story and speed run it, because that's what people are, you're forcing people, when you force people to do the main story to get to the new content, they're going to speed run the story that you love so much. People will cherish the story more, believe it or not, if you don't require them to do it to get to the new content. And to be clear, I only speed ran the first book of the story and then I gave up because I realized I was speed running the story and I kind of wanted to chill out a little bit on it because, like, let's be honest, we're not getting new content for another 4 months. So, like, I would like to just take my time with it. So I still haven't done it yet. I do think that it's a little cooked that, like, the sovereign enhancing. Wait, how did your sovereign enhancing go, guys? Blonde, how'd yours go?
What? Sovereign what? I don't have a sovereign.
Blonde doesn't have a sovereign weapon? What a loser. No. Oh my god.
Yeah, I have the same weapon a player that started 5 minutes ago has, so, you know, I'm kind of a new guy at the game. I'm kind of getting my grassroots in. You know, I just started playing only a few minutes ago, just like everybody else has a Pen Black Star, so I mean... No, I'm still working on my Debo rings, and there's no real rush because you're just going to be spending crons on everything. So I'm just working one thing at a time. Once I get the Debo done, then I'll get to it. I'm 18 out of 20 on pity, so once I just get the 20 out of 20, I'll move on. So,
oh my god,
there's no reason to rush, right? Because we just have the same grind spots and you go to the same places and it doesn't really matter. Number go up, but damage don't go up, it don't feel worth it. So it's like, I have no reason. This weapon doesn't unlock any content I didn't have before, right? So there really is no big deal to getting it. So,
okay, somebody pointed this out to me, and I don't mean to pile on the Doomerville. But somebody pointed this out to me, that traditionally in MMOs, the rarity level of items goes from white to green to yellow, to what, purple? And then red.
It's white, green, and blue.
Oh, blue, right. Then purple. Then
purple. And then like red. A yellowish orange, like, red.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, red.
And I will point out that the Sovereign weapon has a purple border, which makes it less rare than my Kudum that I got in 2017.
Well, I don't think they're going with the traditional, like, okay. World of Warcraft.
No. Style. Oh, they are. They. I mean, like, look at your worker system. Look at everything else in the game, right? Your progression system for your life skills. Everything progresses this way. And then, why does the icon for the Sovereign weapon look so garbage? It looks so bad. Look at the Black Star. It's all, like, flashy and cool. You know what I mean? And then we get this new Sovereign weapon. It's like, yeah, whatever. Don't even light it up. It'll be fine. It's insane. But like, the fact that it has a purple border tells you how unimportant the weapon actually is. Because in the developer's minds, like, you know, it's just not as valuable. Like, that's the truth. It's the truth. And Blonde knows it. Blonde's weapon is more rare than ours is. He got his at the 5-minute mark.
Conspiracy-brained Pepe Silvia kind of stuff.
No, I'm not lying though, right? I'm not, traditionally,
in some games I get what you're saying. All games. But we've never had a purple border in this game. This is technically a new thing, right?
They had to choose another color, and it just happened to be purple.
Right, it just happened to be purple. Could you imagine if it just ended up being more red?
Crazy.
Oh, cool. More red.
More red.
More red would have been fine.
I do think it's weird that
red.
They didn't make it a more golden color. Like, if the weapon's gonna be purple, make it all purple. But I think because they messed up with Goddard and made Goddard that, I think they could make the border and the weapon itself
Guru
purple,
is,
and they ended up making it
Guru's like
or was like what orange or too. Dark red orange, yeah. Yeah, they could have made it a more Manos Guru red orange.
Hold on, have an orange one, right?
Hold on, chat literally just said Kudum has an orange border. Blue is just straight up wrong. Okay, so orange is still rarer than purple in all MMOs, but that's fine. I'm still right. And Guru is higher than Master, and Guru is again orange.
Well, technically, 100%. In World of Warcraft, orange is the legendary equivalent, so it's the highest grade.
Yes, it's supposed to be the highest grade, right? Like, that's
in World of Warcraft, at least. Other stuff is like...
Well, no, in basically every game that you play, this is how the rarity system works. I mean, in Destiny, it was the same way, too.
Destiny went off the WoW system, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's not just a WoW system. This is just a rarity system in all games. This is just how it works. But like,
again, there's something to go off the beaten path, but yeah.
The icon really shows you how much little effort like really went into designing this. And what terrible players will say is that at Pen, the weapon actually does get a reasonable looking icon. But like, those players are also the reason that we have a terrible game right now, because you're supporting bad development paths. Because it gets fixed after a certain point does not make the fact that Pry through Tether complete garbage. Like, it just looks unfinished, it looks unpolished, and it feels like crap as a player. For something that should be like, it should take like a day to make an icon that looks reasonable, okay? But we're also dealing with the same developers who can't develop, like when the Dekia spots come out, they literally can't change the icon of the new Dekia trash loot until we complain about it. And then they're like, oh yeah, we should probably change the trash loot, because it's literally got the same icon as the old trash loot did in all those spots until they go back and change it like a month later. It's literally insane.
It's also the same mechanic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dekia, like, Tulans. Oh my gosh.
Oh yes. Ooh, let's talk about Dekia. Oh god, let's talk about Dekia too. Oh, I'm so excited. You guys are the PvE grind lords, right? You guys represent players that
do grind a lot.
Just love the PvE grind and the progression of BDO, or you loved at least. Okay, so what are your thoughts on Dekia 2 before I share my experience with this? We'll start with Jay.
Yes, so I talked about this extensively with my chat as I was grinding for like 10 hours at Olin's the past however many days, but it's literally the same thing. It's actually easier than Dekia 1. If your group just has enough DPS, you just kill the golem before he has a chance to do any other attacks, because if you have enough DPS, you kill it within Misty phase. If you don't have Misty on it, it's like super, super tanky, and it's actually kind of hard because he does the attacks that hit really hard. But again, if your group of DPS is high enough, you can just kill it before it even has a chance to even hurt you, and the minions don't even do damage. But it's still the same, like, you know, kill the golem, and then the infinite amount of babies spawn, and then you kill the minions, and then repeat and stuff like that. And I was hoping when they mentioned Dekia 2, level 2, like 750 gear so requiring, it was going to be this epic fight, and there was going to be almost like raid boss mechanics, where that's how it felt in 2020 when I first went to Olin's, where like I didn't know what this mob did. It had like this slam attack, it had this like big AoE attack, like there's the entire area of my screen, there was like a red zone and stuff like that. I had to avoid that. And it was just like, we've done it before in tier one. Tier one, I think, did a good job of like changing up Olin's from 2020, like the very first iteration of Olin's. And then tier two was just literally the same thing, and also easier than tier one. If you just kill the golem before it has a chance to do anything, I was really, really hoping it would feel the same as when I first went to 2020 with my like 650 gear score ass, you know, over there. But it's just, oh my gosh. And then as for Ash Forest tier two, I can see it a little bit more in a positive light. It is a lot different than tier one Dekia Ash. If anyone's done it, there is a mechanic with the Gyrus that really checks your DPS. There's a huge, there's a hard DPS check on the Gyrus, and if you're able to kill it, you're rewarded with this DP debuff on the entire area for a moment, for a good little while. And I like that. That's good. So Dekia tier two Ash, that was much, much better. That was much more better designed. They had a kind of like the switch up where the Gyrus is the big mob now, and then the Vulcris is like the little baby. And so that was kind of cute. But yeah, Dekia tier two Olin's, I'm hoping that the tier two situations with like the mentioned Miramok, the mentioned Upper Gyphons, is a lot better. But yeah, I don't know if they're still gonna develop tier two Olin's. They even, did you notice it has like this little like blip of iframe? It's like a little bug or something with tier two Olin's, when after you like kill the arm and it's just like yell, and then it's like iframe for like 2 seconds randomly. I don't know if that was like, it just feels underdeveloped, it feels unfinished. That's my overall thoughts on, anyways. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, I'm dooming. Oh my god, no.
We got him. No. All right, Vaughn, how did you feel about Dekia 2? I won't even share my thoughts until Vaughn goes.
Okay, so like Olin's as a baseline is really cool. It was really innovative. You had to innovate the grind spot like 8 times over. It's received many buffs over the years. It's like a classic grind spot. It's great overall in like many ways, whether you're looking for a challenge or were looking for a challenge. Now it's kind of easy with the gear changes, class changes that make things easy, but fantastic spot. Dekia Olin's was like an upgrade. It was kind of a massive upgrade because there were a lot more one-shotty mechanics. Even at max endgame gear, you're having some mechanics that, like, yeah, the fist, if you're, you know, not a healthy class, you're gonna get hit really hard. If you accidentally position yourself, you get back attacked, you're gonna get absolutely screwed. Like, you're done for. And some people like that kind of challenge in a grind spot. Some people want that. I personally, I'm not the biggest fan of getting one shot in spots at max endgame gear. I feel like I've grinded for all this gear. I kind of want to be invincible no matter what, but that's just a personal preference. I do think that calling it Dekia level 2 gives you the impression that it's going to be harder, more challenging, more of something else, instead of it being like an alternative version of a spot that just offers new loot. All that feels, you know, Dekia level 2 about it is that it's just another like tier of loot that's just different or higher or whatever. It doesn't feel like it's better in any way, shape, or form, unless you like, I guess, particularly if you're like me, who like didn't like the one-shottiness of Dekia Olin's, that like now it's kind of like Dekia Olin's with good loot, but you don't get one shot. But it ends up feeling easier, which is not as satisfying to players to overcome as a mechanic. So personally for me, I like chill grinding. So being able to chill grind with friends while making good money is like nice, but it also, I don't know, it kind of is weird because like you get the impression that it's supposed to be better, stronger, faster, whatever. And it's not that. Yeah. So I think that just the name of it kind of threw people off, like Dekia 2, everybody meant things are higher, which technically it has higher AP caps. So like you have to go there with high gear. It's just like, it's a higher tier spot with higher requirements, but it's easy. So like not anybody can go there. And I mean, if you do, you're going to end. So you wouldn't be incentivized to go there, but you don't have to. So it's kind of complex. I think that it's complicated because it just depends what you're looking for as a grinder. I think that most people are unsatisfied by it. I personally don't mind it because it's not like the worst thing ever. I just think that you get a certain impression when you are given a level 2 version of a spot that was already really kind of crazy.
So my take on it is I'm just going to take a step back. Only thing I've done so far is Dekia Ash. And like it felt like basically the same thing except harder. And then the Gyrus mechanic. That's it. The Gyrus mechanic gives them all a debuff. I only successfully killed the Gyrus like twice. But like it really didn't feel a crazy amount different. And I got literally nothing for doing it. The trash loot is exactly the same. The trash loot icon is exactly the same. The amount of trash and then the trash loot value is the same. And since I didn't get any drops from the zone, I guess because I got unlucky, I literally made less money than I would have at just Dekia Ash. So it didn't make me feel like I was being rewarded for my trouble. Now, that's a really small sample size of like 2 or 3 hours. Because I did a couple hours off stream too, but like I just can't make it work. Overall, I think the lantern, the biggest L of Dekia 2 is not even that it's recycled content. It's not that it's complete garbage PvE content. It's that they literally made you craft a new lantern to do Dekia 1 again.
Oh my god, yeah.
This is mental illness from the development team. This just shows
they
it shows
just
me,
like let you click a button on it. Like, are you kidding me?
It shows like it shows me that they're not actually playing the game, because anyone that was playing the game would have known, right? That like, okay, yeah, we should give them the option to pop the Dekia 1 or the Dekia 2, right? And they should still be able to use the lantern at Dekia 1 spots. But you can't.
Just like a loot scroll, how it has the tier 1, tier 2 tab. It should have just been a button exactly like that. That's literally what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, you can't.
It's kind of weird that it wasn't.
Exactly, but you can't. So like, you have to literally completely craft a new lantern, which is a huge oversight on content that many people, myself included, perceive as low effort, terrible direction content of the game. Like, you're talking about releasing a new region with no grind zones, and then your new grind zones that people are supposed to enjoy is Dekia 2, and it's just harder mobs of the same mobs that we've been grinding since, when did Olin's come out? When did Ash Wars come out? 4 years ago? Like this is the same mobs, just harder. And as Jay said, sometimes it feels easier than it was before. But like, that being set aside, like, it's already recycled content that people are not going to feel good about. And then you didn't bother to update the trash loot, and you messed up the lantern thing. I think it's a really big stumble at a time when the game is already struggling, in my opinion.
I think also, they maybe should have.
The crystals on the marketplace are already tanking to min price.
Yes, that's also one thing I wanted to also touch on. Was I've seen a lot of comments and I've heard a lot of like statements about how like the current state of item availability for these higher tier items and crystals have caused a lot of those items and crystals to just like devalue significantly. There's one person I want to shout out on YouTube. Pansy is someone on YouTube that I'd like to shout out. He was a fellow guildie from a while back. We've done challenges for like 4 years, and he put out this like really nice perspective video on the situation. He mentions like, you know, as the game progresses, average gear score gets higher, new content releases, eventually everything, you know, devalues. Pen Blacksters and Debarukas used to be like the end game pinnacle gear, and now there's just so much available than before. And then like, whether that's a good thing or bad thing for the game, I guess it depends on your perspective. Like, on one hand, it's like easier and cheaper to get the gear that you want, but at the same time, the people you work for, you know, the people who worked for that same gear when it was like twice as hard, it kind of feels like, I don't know, like if you just waited, you would have just spent half the effort. But I am biased because I'm one of those people that I bought a Penda Baraka earring for 300 bill, and now it's like 130 bill, and I'm like, oh no, did I The problem
is you're always going to have two sides. You're going to have the people that are like, man, this kind of sucks that everything's devalued. You're going to have another person that says, well, actually, in all MMOs, gear eventually devalues. This is just the period where it does that. And although I do agree with that, when the entire market's crashing down, I don't think really anybody benefits, because nothing feels worth or rare or valuable anymore. Because even now, you're going to have people that are like, man, I'm so glad the market's so accessible. It's like, yeah, accessible to just go straight to Kron's. Like before, I felt like you were like, when you were grinding for something, you were like searching for that rare drop, but they buffed the rates, they buffed everything, then they gave pity, and then like only made one set of stuff valuable. I feel like it's really warping the mindset where nothing feels like worth going for. Like, if money's not worth anything because the market's going to crash in every way, shape, and form, even on the new stuff, even on the new crisp, the new enhancing things, right? Like, you've got these new stones, and people are already saying that, like, yeah, they're just going to get listed in mass, so you should just like list them and sell them while they're high. And then they'll eventually go low because, like, it's all fricked. I saw someone on the Reddit begging that they would, oh, PA, can you tank the Manos market next? It's just like, oh man, life skills must be feeling real great right now.
There was actually something that was a little bit funny, because in the Pansy's video, he actually was comparing like RuneScape. Blumber, you would know, there's like this, apparently this, yes, there's this cape Pansy was mentioning about how this is like the best in slot, like melee cape, and it's still a best in slot today, out even after four years. And Fire, he was talking about how like it's still like, you know, content that you want to perk rest towards, and it's like, you know, the RuneScape values your time. And then he was like, BDO doesn't. And then I'm like, oh, well, damn.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that they do in RuneScape where they have gear doesn't like trump each other. I feel like in this game, the way that they kind of do this is similar to RuneScape in a way where they use old gear to progress new gear. Like, you have systems that like benefit off of like building an item into another one. So like old boss gear and old boss weapons benefit off of like you turn those into Black Star, you turn it into the new thing. Like, that is a system that like they do that works. But the thing is that RuneScape has like a lot of old items that don't get like completely changed, right? There's like two or three best in slot capes at a certain point, and when they do release new gear, it's like hybrid stuff or like situational stuff. And I mean, the game's gear design is completely different because there's way more variables in that one than there are in BDO, I feel, but it gets really complex. But their markets are designed in a way where like your skilling and leveling is like all based on your boss drop. So like all the materials are always worth it and always useful because they build onto other materials. And I think that BDO, because they're doing like sort of like what feels like a hard wipe of like, all right, Debo's is like the only thing worth going for. Like, some people try to make Tungrad's work, and there's a handful of people who are like, oh yeah, I have full pen Tungrad, you know, I'm running a BSR set, and it's like, cool, so you can use an ult every 20 minutes. That's real cool. Like, they're just not like sort of what feels like utilizing the systems that they've like sort of designed. They're just wiping the slate clean, which, again, if this is a transitionary period, fine. But when you hear that the next expansion is coming in a year plus and we're not going to see any new content for a year plus, people don't want to sit there and see the market crash in three months of the game time and then sit here for another year and a half with like virtually it feels like nothing to do, right? Crying Krons for your weapon, which, you know, is the same thing you've been doing. Grind Kron, click gear. It's not exciting or fun. I think a lot of people are kind of like waking up, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, I generally agree. Like, I mean, like, I'm in complete agreement. I think that the state of the marketplace is, this might be the worst I've ever seen the marketplace. I've only ever seen the marketplace this bad one other time, and it was the opposite of this, where silver essentially had no value because everyone had too much silver, because that was when sea monster hunting was a big thing. A lot of people would have considered sea monster hunting an exploit back then. And a lot of other people got really rich and got really far ahead of the gear curve because they did it. And then Prolibus didn't really ever punish anyone for sea monster hunting back in the day, or taking those like really big payouts. And so like it never really was confirmed as an exploit. But what happened back then was that literally silver just had no value because everyone had so much of it that like, you couldn't get anything off the market, so the only way to get something was to go grind for it. Like, that was it. Like, base Ogre Rings were selling for 350 million at base, okay? What? And that doesn't sound like crazy. But understand that this is a time when you were making 6 to 10 million silver an hour grinding, okay? Maybe you could make 20 million at Gaha's. Like, oh my god, we're getting all the elites, whatever. But like, you're making like 20 million an hour at Gaha's and a base ogreing selling for 350 million on a pre-order. It was insane. Like, and there was, everything was sold out on the marketplace at max price. No one really cared. And if you weren't sea monster hunting, the game was almost unplayable unless you went and got the items yourself. Now we're in the opposite, complete opposite, where the market is completely flooded with everything because nothing has value again. It's just the other way. Unless it's a Debereka, nothing has any value in the game. So all
Debereka's don't really have values either, bro.
Yeah, and Debos are starting
in the hundreds, and correct.
Yeah, Debos are starting to tank as well. Yes, because
they're in the 40 bill for like Tets right now. Like, it's better to click that than Chronic, because if the downgrades, then you're screwed. Like, it literally, you're raw tapping it. You're buying it and raw tapping it because it's not worth the Chronic. Because if it downgrades, then you have to get it back to upgrade, which is another 7 bill click for the Tet, and that's if you have a good stack and if you get lucky on it. That's hoping it doesn't go down to duo, because then you're really fricked. Like, you're quite literally tapping them raw, which, again, if you're a new or growing player in the game, that probably feels real great. But as soon as you get all that, you're back where everybody else is, where nothing feels valuable and everything is worthless. Like people, the common argument I see is like, well, like, that's good because now the game is super accessible and everybody can get everything. And it's like, okay, but to do what? So you can now be like everybody else and cry about the market and the issues? Like, it's a system should kind of go all the way up and not like a completely crash for one side and one side feel good about it, because like, I think a healthy market involves people, you know, there's some work towards some things to get to certain stages of the game or certain gear styles, so then you can like profit off of the things you worked hard to get to profit from. But now there's nothing to get to profit from. Like, technically the new Olin spot is gated by like an AP gate, right? Like, it has like a certain, it's like 1100 DR and the cap is like 1300, so like you push for those things, but like those, like, it's just access to a spot that ends up being just as easy as like, if not normal Olins. Like, you're just mulching mobs. Like, it's like nothing interesting, new, or innovative, or arguably fun about it. It's awkward.
Yep. And like, so like, we're headed to a spot when Debos are going to tank to like all this is a. JD, do you have anything to add? Sorry.
And the only thing I can think of is they're preparing. They're preparing for something beyond Debo. And
yeah, so
Debo's
I'm getting
Gray.
Yeah. So Gray. Here's the That's problem. We're headed to a place, and I saw Zephian talking about this with Etsu in his chat. The CMs don't dare come around my chat anymore. I saw Zephian talking about it with the last time that I think Etsu was in his chat, because Etsu, he kind of doomed about this. But like, we're headed to a point where Debos are going to be at min price across the board. Pen, Tet, Tri, Duo, Pry, and Base are all going to be at min, bottomed out. And everything else on the market is basically irrelevant, right? And so those are all going to be bottomed out at min price as well. And so we're in a position where, like, the market is unrecoverable. You're going to make way less silver per hour in a few months from now than you will now, because nothing will sell on the market. It will literally be entirely based on trash loot. And, like, everything will just be completely available on the market. And Zephian said it best, like, he's hoping against hope that they're doing some five-head play. Like, they have some grandmaster plan to completely shift the marketplace, and like, the development team is going to go away from Debos, and like, everything will be valuable in the end game. Because right now it just looks like a bunch of clowns are directing our marketplace, because like, even new players are making way less silver per hour, because like, how are you supposed to sell a Narc earring nowadays, right? How are you supposed to sell a Bassy belt? How are you supposed to sell a Voltara belt? Like, it is what it is.
Like, do you know what made like those things rare though, back in the day? Like, what made Debos rare? What made things like that? Like, do you know?
I mean, like, there were a number of factors, but go ahead.
Right. We had low drop rates. We had the inaccessibility to get those materials. They were quite literally one of the most scarcest materials in the game. They weren't easily obtained. And although I do agree that a lot of the feedback was like, oh man, these things aren't easy to obtain, I wish they were, and I'm sure that was a feedback of a lot of people, I feel like PA fed into that rather than understanding that if they tank their market, it's going to make it so that like, this is exactly the course of actions that happens after that, right? If we make something so common that it's not scarce, that it's like, we've increased the drop rates, we've increased the sources of it, we've made it drop at every single spot basically that's come out since the Debos came out, like, you're basically polluting the market. And if it means they are going to lead to another set of market changes, which like introduce a new actual really rare source of something, and this is the way they sort of averagely bring the gear score up, sure, but like nobody knows, right? It's all just speculation, and speculation is just going to brain rot people into absolute dooming, like people have. I mean, people probably don't feel really good about their gear devaluing in the last 3 months, because they went, like Jay said, they went like X amount of time and gear and money for this thing, and now it feels bad, which it'll always feel bad during a transitionary period of gear, like upgrading, degrading, new sets of gear coming out. But we don't even know if that's a thing. That's like, that's what we're praying and hoping, because it doesn't make sense otherwise. You have no idea if we're going to be sitting on these Devo accessories for the next year, 2 years, 3 years, because the earring came out, and in less than a year, they introduced the hammer, which made it so that you could pity it. Right? Like, in less than a year, that accessory went from something brand new to every single person's got it in their five set. Right?
And the craziest thing is those hammers are useless now.
Ultra common. Yeah, there's no... They didn't add the rings during the expansion, which would have been what I thought would happen, and they didn't even do that. And I was like, why didn't we add this when the new thing hit? Like, it would have been the way to get them the rest of them out of the market, because let's see how many are sitting on the market right now. We've got the...
Well, no, nobody's going to buy it anymore. There's no reason to buy the
Jace. We have 3,000 still sitting on the market. And there's no reason to buy it.
1,200, I think.
And especially, yeah, you're right. You wouldn't even want to buy it, because they've made so many Devos that every person that didn't sell their hammer immediately is now just out 30 billion silver, especially when they expire.
Correct.
And there's no reason to even click it, like, unless you got one on accident or something, or you just buy one and you want to YOLO it. Like, it's 30 bill just gone in the drain.
Yeah. If you didn't already sell your hammer, you're in a really bad spot.
You're done for.
Because new players, the only reason people are buying a hammer right now is out of habit, because they're too stupid to realize where the market is currently, right? Because like Devos are not valuable anymore they're not at the value where you want to use a hammer. You at best want to use Kron stones on them, and we're headed to a point when we're not even going to Kron these things. Okay. Like that's where we're headed. Like we're very rapidly headed to a point where you don't even want to Kron your Devos anymore. And since Devos are the only end game progression path right now, if Devos are tanked, everything else is tanked, and there's no ability to sell anything on the market, everyone's overall silver power tanks to nothing. But like, what is their plan here? What's the plan to fix this market?
They're going
to
introduce something that's ultra rare, and it's like the Ogre Ring back in the day, where it's like 350 mil because you get one every 20 hours of grinding, and that's the only way to get it. So that's the only thing they can do, right? Mm-hmm. Right now, if you're getting anything, even at the new spots, you should be selling. Selling right now while you can. Yes. Because the stones to the weapon, everything needs to be sold right now, because everybody is going to be competing. I mean, that's exactly what happened with Devos. People literally grinded them into ad nauseum to enhance them to tet to get them to sell at the best price they could, which is one of the most toxic things, unfortunately, that was done to the market. I think that although it looks good on paper to be like, oh, hey, you know, our things are accessible, people were racing to make these things. Day one, people were already listing tets as soon as it was released. It was like, bro, what happened to like working on your own gear and getting it for yourself and then like profiting from it? It's crazy. I don't know.
Yeah,
but they're going to have to introduce a whole new set that's like a brand new thing.
Not just
that's
one the only set. Thing I can do.
Yeah, oh, sure. Like, I mean,
the only thing I can look at is we're going for a reset on the Devos, because they're going to concede and say that this was a bad idea. And so everyone's going to get their Devos for almost as free as they can give them to you. Right.
Yeah.
And then they're going to allow us to diversify our gear beyond that point. Like Devos, like, will be the branching point for what you want to do in the rest of the game, essentially. And that's the only thing I can think of, because this is the only thing that makes logical sense.
What do you mean
sense.
A branching point?
So like
they're gonna,
instead of everybody having to build Devos, there will be like 9 or 10 different gear paths that you can go choose from after Devos are finished and you've got your PvE set. Now it's time to optimize for very specific types of PvE or PvP in the game, and you kind of like diverge off onto your build path, right? Because there's like 9 different accessory sets that you can look at and be like, all right, well, I want kind of a hybrid build, or I want to do this, or I want to do that, right? Like, that's the only thing I can think of. And all this new stuff will somehow require the old stuff, because like you still don't fix the problem of everything being useless right now. Like, there's no way for people to make silver except for the raw trash loot that they're making at grind zones and then selling Devos. And soon it will be at min. Like, those will be at min too. And almost, I don't know if unsellable is the word. I think that those will almost always be sellable because of the demand. But like, they'll be really reduced in terms of how much you need them. So like really concerned about that. And to make matters worse, normally I would cover patch notes after the patch note rundown. But did you guys see the announcement? Is that there's no patch tonight.
There's no patch notes.
It's literally just their server update. They're just like optimizing the servers with quotation marks. And I find this like really egregiously bad and stupid. Because think about any major developer releasing a huge expansion or patch. The patch after that immediately is supposed to be addressing bugs and things like this, right? Like we got new global content with that patch, which was like the two new bosses, like bosses. Did you notice that your horse buffs don't work when you go into the boss blitz with your guild? Like there's bugs all over the place with those. It's fun, but there's bugs in those bosses and there's bugs with all that content and they're not addressing any of that. And again, this kind of adds to the fire of, okay, you really don't care about the West's opinions. Like literally you don't care. Korea got the expansion and then immediately got bug fixes on the global labs and fixes for stuff basically immediately. But because you released it in Korea, now you've released it in the West and you're taking a week off. You're like, yeah, okay, we're good. The content's perfect. You're not listening to feedback. You don't want to listen to feedback. You're not here for it. And I've never seen a developer literally release something and then not fix bugs the following patch to show that, yeah, we're trying to keep up with the content. No, we're just taking a week off. Like, it's actually staggering to me. Like, especially the week before your primary competitor releases their game. Like, Throne and Liberty releases in 8 days. Like, they have holiday. Then do it the day after. Don't tell me you have a holiday. Every other time that they've had a patch, they literally just do it the day after. They're like, yeah, we're going to take our holiday. We're like, okay, yeah, that's cool. And then we wait 1 or 2 days, and then we get a patch. This is not them saying, oh, we have a holiday. This is them saying, yeah, we're taking a week off. That's it. And we have 8 days for Throne and Liberty release. 8 days. Like, you're killing your game. Absolutely killing your game. I don't know. How do you guys feel about the patch? It couldn't just not be that big of a deal. But, like, to me, I'm just like, bro, what are we doing right now?
I mean, it's like, yeah, we finally like launched our new expansion. Time to take a load off. All right, they're gonna have fun just going through that 8-hour story over the next week or two and trying out the bosses. But I think that's the impression that they want to have. But obviously, MMO gamers are some of the more hardcore, burst through everything, competitive type players. So it's like, that's not what's gonna happen. Everybody's gonna be rushing to do everything. So. Yeah, I don't know. I think that their impression of the player base or what they want out of the player base is not what the player base they have, unfortunately. So, I don't know. I think PA is in a weird spot. They want a player base that'll just eat anything and be happy with whatever they give them. And obviously, this is not the player base.
That would be a mobile base. That would be a mobile game. Mobile games have that. Mobile games don't care. Like, mobile games player base do not care what the game releases because they're playing it as a mobile game, like a pay to win garbage mobile game, right? Like, this is a live service PC game. As much as you like to say, oh, it released on console. Yeah, that's great. Who cares? Like, it's a live service PC game. And, like, we're not releasing. Like, we haven't had... Plus, the Global Labs last week was pathetic. It's not... We have nothing. Although, okay. Last topic. Actually, Jay, I don't think... How far did you get your Sovereign weapon?
They're both at pen at the moment, and I'm just saving everything until Christmas, and I'm planning to do like a big Christmas enhancing stream and hope for a Christmas miracle. That's my plan.
Good luck.
Yeah. Right on. Good luck, buddy. Sorry. Yeah. Like I don't think I caught that earlier. There's one last thing that I hope that, have you guys seen the minute and 24 second dev note video where Jay gets in front of everybody? And you know, why don't we look at that right now? Again, it's
yeah. I mean, I'm also not really crazy about clicking the weapon too because everything's just gonna get listed in the market and get lower in price. So like, I'm not like
gonna be way cheaper.
Freaking out. I'm just kind of like chilling. And I mean, maybe that's how BDO should be treated, where it's like you're just kind of chilling. You know, you just like relax, and if you play it when you want to play it, and you don't have to go crazy hard. And I feel like that's what they're also catering the player base for.
So here is the video. I'll let it play here.
몽고 여러분 안녕하세요. 검은사막 총괄 프로듀서 김재입니다. 아침의 나라 황해도 편이 드디어 전 세계에 출시됐습니다. 모험가 여러분들께서 항상 검은사막에 보내주시는 애정과 응원 덕분에 이렇게 무사히 개발해서 여러분들께 선보일 수 있게 됐습니다. 지금도 새로운 스토리를 즐기시거나 뭐 혈록당을 꾸미시거나 군악무기를 제작하시는 분들도 많이 계시고요. 또 새로운 강력한 우두머리가 있는 검은사당에 도전하는 모험가님들도 계십니다. 모두 각자의 방법으로 아침의 나라를 즐겨주고 계시는데요. 모든 모험가님들이 즐거운 모험 되셨으면 하는 바람입니다. 이제 저희 검은사막 스튜디오는 모험가 여러분들과 함께 본래 대륙에서의 모험을 이어나가기 위해서 조금 더 집중해서 개발을 하고 있습니다. 더욱 새롭고 즐거운 모험을 하실 수 있도록 열심히 개발을 하고 있고요. 아침의 나라 이후의 개발 소식은 다음 달에 이제 개발자 코멘터리를 통해서 전해드릴 수 있도록 준비하고 있습니다. 조금만 더 기다려주시면 좋은 소식으로 찾아뵙겠습니다. 모험가 여러분 항상 감사드리고 저희가 준비한 아침의 나라도 재밌게 즐겨주세요. 감사합니다.
Okay. So essentially this is Jay saying if you just wait a little bit longer, we'll have this content for you in a month. And you know, thanks for enjoying our Land of the Morning Light content. And like, yeah, we understand that. But honestly, he didn't even really acknowledge the grievances with the community. He still has not directly acknowledged that people are upset with the game. But he did say that, like, we understand a lot of you are waiting for other content, and we have that coming for you, like, in this next month or whatever. Please wait. And I do want to direct your attention to the ratio on this video is insane. If you look at the likes and dislikes, and I've disliked the video too. How can you ask us to wait for another month after we waited all this time? And you, Prolibus has not even addressed that we are upset with the game. Has not even addressed that we are upset with the game or the progression system, the PvE, the PvP, none of it. And they refuse to address anything. The only address that we got was Etsu before the top 100 tournament started. He said, "We heard you." And that was it from the CMGM team. Right. And you can see the community is really upset about this, this video, because like, again, they're basically just ignoring all of the feedback and everything that people are saying about it. I'm curious what your guys' take on it. You guys are PvE players mainly. And like Blonde, let's be honest, you're playing RuneScape right now. Jay, how much BDO are you playing nowadays?
I have grinded a lot because, you know, I do want to get my weapons up, but I have been taking a break and, you know, playing other games. And as you mentioned before, if they're taking a break from the patch notes, maybe I'll also take a break from the game. Maybe I'll try to throw in Liberty. I don't know.
There it is, bro. There it is. Blonde, what's your take here?
Every week we'll see. The cool thing about BDO is like, there's a lot of commentary about wanting to, oh, I don't want to have to grind as hard. I just want to kind of take a break. I want to kind of, you know, I want to kind of play a little bit. And now the game's kind of in a place where if that's what you want to do, cool. But it totally shuts down on like these crazy hardcore people that want to grind 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day, people that make it their career. And I feel bad. I feel like PA really is discrediting their community in that way. And maybe PA is doing that on purpose. I don't know. Maybe they don't care about the content creators. They're just doing their own thing. But they're done with their passion project, right? They finished their island. They told their story. They got the cool new bosses out, which is good content. And now they're going back to the main island, all right? Demon Land's coming. Mountain of Eternal Winter. The 100-floor dungeon. The demon castle you're going to have to fight your way through just to get to harder areas to fight harder monsters. So I don't know. The potential's there. It's just unfortunate. It feels like we're going through a transitionary wipe period where, like, we're resetting the ground floor and then the new content's going to come. But I feel like it's probably going to be too long of a gap. Or maybe they just want players to maybe take a break. Guys, take a chill pill. Maybe don't play the game for a minute. There's a bunch of new stuff out. Go play that and then come back when we finish the content. I feel like that's PA's feeling right now.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I feel like they're just phoning it in. I'm not much of like a doomer with regards to like when people come and they are like, oh, they're counting on Crimson Desert or the China release. But I normally would not buy into that kind of talk. But I'll be honest with you. They might have a point. Like, it seems like they're kind of just phoning it in.
Well, I mean, think of the feedback they've received over many, 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 many years, right? People are constantly having to grind so much gear and spend so much time in the game and grind. And, like, they've completely wiped the market to listen to that feedback. I mean, I think this company's receiving numerous amounts of feedback in so many ways. I think it's impossible for them to please everybody. And then even times where they're like, listen, we've gotten this feedback over the last 8 years and we're finally doing it. We found a way to formulaically do it, and now people are upset that they're, like, some players are upset they're getting exactly what they wanted. I don't know. I feel like PA is in a really tough position where you're going to disappoint everybody no matter what you do. I think even if PA pulled, like, a bunch of people from the community and pulled them into a conversation and, like, addressed their specific concerns, I think even if that happened, people would still have people they will... would target the next thing, right? We got this awesome new boss content. And we've got 20 other things to complain about because I would agree it's not enough. It really isn't enough, but there's still so much wrong that needs to be changed or fixed or edited. And I feel like they're just in a really tough position, to be honest. I don't envy them at all.
Mm-hmm. The way you describe that, Blumber, it kind of feels like they're like stuck in a pit, and then they're like all, like, you know, these like quality of life updates are like slowly trying to climb out, but then things keep like burying them down the pit, mm-hmm. and they can't get out of this pit they're in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's, I don't know how they're gonna get out of this pit.
I mean they've really driven us down a bad road here. I mean, they could bring the players together, and, like, honestly, I think that would help. If they brought the players together and, like, said, okay, what do you want? Okay, we'll work on all these things. That might be their only way out of it at this point. Because, like, if they continue committing on this path, they're cooked. They're absolutely cooked. Because, like, they're losing players hand over fist. Their expansion didn't land the way that they were hoping it would. The guild bosses are incredible, right? But the rest of the expansion was finished in a day. And, like, it's just a little bit rough. I wanted to point out that Neptune's commented on this video, and he put his comment in Korean because they don't read English. And I thought that's was really funny.
Five head.
I thought that was really funny, but I believe that they deleted his comment because I can't find it anymore. So either Nep deleted his comment, which is unlikely, or they deleted his comment from the video. And it was literally just this sentence, I'm pretty sure, right here. One of those two things, and I'll ask Nep and see what happened. But, like, I just thought that was really funny. But, like, yeah, I mean, like, the player base is upset. Understandably, I can't even get this. Note and I are looking at this like, how do we get this much engagement on a video? I mean, this is bullshit. Like, I could put out a video that has four times as many views as this one does, but I can't get half as many like dislikes. The amount of engagement, I have to applaud Jay. The amount of engagement he can get on a video is insane.
Like, oh my god, the content, wow.
Yeah, like, wow, Jay, I should have you, honestly, I should put Jay up on the screen more often. Like, holy moly. But yeah, I did want to comment on that there. I do like Land of the Morning Light Part 2. I just think that it's a little bit less than what people were hoping for out of a new expansion. When you talk about a new expansion, you talk about having a lot of new things to do. And sadly, like, you know, a lot of people are kind of left wanting on that. But mm-hmm. Yeah, let's go ahead and do final thoughts here. We'll start with Jay.
Okay, final thoughts. Dikia... level 2, fix it. My favorite outfit is the one in the bikini over there, right above you, the red bikini.
You want you like this, really? Bro, he didn't actually have a favorite outfit. I'm just gonna take mine right now. It's the Bugatti. That's right, baby. Bugatti. Big win on the Bugatti outfit. Literally can't go wrong. Rarest outfit in the game. All of you get. Okay, blonde, which one do you like?
They stole mine. That's what I was gonna choose.
Are you serious? The Bugatti.
Look at, okay, the wagon.
Okay. I'm looking at the wagon.
Wait, that was the bakery. That was not
that
the
was...
Blonde. My final thoughts are we'll see. The boss content's awesome. You weren't forced to do the quest. That's awesome. There wasn't a reward that you had to get. That's exactly what players didn't want, so they didn't get forced to do that. I think that there are a lot of things that people wanted that we got out of this. It just isn't enough content, and it's gonna suck if we gotta wait a whole nother year. We do have some more bosses coming, we do have some more spots coming, so we'll see. But I hate to say it, but every week it's a we'll see.
It's getting a little scary now, guys.
The cool thing is, if you now more than ever, do you have an excuse to like be like, you know, maybe I'll play like an hour of BDO and then I'll go do something else. I'll get my hour grind in and go play another game or whatever, you know. And that's okay. That's okay. I think that people don't do that enough, and I think that's okay.
Yeah, I don't mean to be a doomer or anything, but our peak for the expansion
Don't look at that. Oh, God.
Our peak for the expansion was not even the low point. Keep in mind, Land of the Morning Light Part 2 released in like June of last year, July, somewhere around there. So it's not even on the graph here for the 1 year graph. Yeah. So this is actually after Land of the Morning Light Part 1 had settled down. Like many months after it had settled down, the Lost Ark players left, and we still had, you know, 24,000. We didn't even come close to hitting even the low point from last year on the graph with our big expansion release for this year. So yeah, little bit insane with that. It is what it is. Guys, you can find the Old Moon Podcast on my YouTube. I think Jay sometimes posts it on his YouTube. It'd be great if Blonde actually put forth some effort and actually contributed by putting it on his YouTube. He's nodding no. Okay. Like we have it on Apple Podcasts and Spotify as well, so you can follow on those platforms as well and interact with it. Just make sure that you comment, like, subscribe, interact with the video, because we do read all the comments to see what our subjects need to be for next week. So do that. We love reading about how much we love Blonde Bear and how much a stupid indented blue is most weeks.
True.
Yes. Yes. I love all of you from all of us here at the Old Moon Podcast. Have a great rest of your week, guys.